a look to the spirit of the future. Hi, Jessica.
Hey, Hannah.
How are you tonight?
It's a great day to be great.
This is what we're doing, being awesome. Jessica, what are we drinking tonight?
I am, you asked me such a regular question, and I'm about to deep dive just so hard.
Let's go.
Okay. I am having a Old Smoky salted watermelon bourbon.
Oh, my God.
And some tropical punch.
So you took a drink that just tastes like candy, and then you put juice in it?
And I doubled down.
Doubled the sugar.
Uh-huh. But more importantly, my glass is, I don't remember if it was a limited edition run or not, but it's by a company called Camel City Goods. They're based out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
You have talked about these people before, yes?
I'm obsessed with them. But the glass is got a little,
let me look at it. Engraving. Made by Carolina people, Honest North Casper's Whiskey. Did I read that correctly? It's one of the, it's like a monogrammed thing. It's like a monogrammed thing. You know, like how you don't read it up and down, like a book. Okay, tell me what I did. Read it out. I'm going to post a picture of this, and I want all the listeners.
Tell you how Southern you are.
Oh.
And you said, read the monogram. I, a regular.
Not Southern.
Would read it. Casper's Whiskey.
Okay.
Made by Honest People, North Carolina.
What? Yeah. That is okay.
Because the different sizes of the font size.
But I just, okay.
Anyway.
This is going to be our first poll on Instagram, is who's going to read it which way.
The poll is, why am I right?
Oh my God. That's so rude. Read the monogram.
You know, North Carolina is famously known for its beer.
Yes.
And Casper's Whiskey was the only distillery in North Carolina. So it's a nod back to at least the 50s.
Interesting. All right. Well, Jessica's our local historian in the room, starting off strong with...
Hannah, what are you sipping on?
Jessica, I am drinking kombucha.
Okay.
To introduce... Typically, Jessica and I will be enjoying an adult beverage together. I, however, am sober until Saturday night. Jessica, please ask me why.
Hannah, why are you sober until Saturday night?
It is because I am running a 50K Saturday day, and then I'm going to drink so much beer. But I am not drinking alcohol until the 50K is over, because it tends to... make me not sleep well and run well. And I need everything I can to, I need to do all things right to even be able to finish the 50K in the allotted time. So I'm just sleeping a lot and drinking kombucha.
But your win will be that much sweeter.
It will. I'm going to carry my medal, and it'll be worth not drinking for basically 2 weeks, except for the 3 times I drank in the past 5 days. So
kudos to you, because it couldn't be me.
I'm just making a lot of sacrifices for my physical accomplishments.
A beacon of health.
Look at me.
While I'm drinking mostly just cane sugar.
Yeah, basically just alcoholic sugar water is what's happening on the corner of the table.
Live through me.
I'm vicariously living. Well, not really, because actually I took one sip of that watermelon whiskey. And
you weren't a fan.
No, it was. I knew I wasn't going to be when I put it in my mouth. And yet I did it anyway, so.
Here's where I think the potential lies, because it is stupid sweet.
So it's like a Jolly Rancher in liquid form.
I think where it's going to stick is that when it's 103 degrees at 7 a.m.
Yes.
And I think if I make the mixer into an ice cube and do like a slush situation.
Mm-hmm. I think that could work, yes. Will you be drinking at 7 a.m.?
I mean, off the record.
Okay, off the record could be happening as a refreshing beverage. I don't know why I asked you that. I just wanted you to confess all your sins. I think I'm just feeling sad about feeling sober right now. Not sober, but as a lifestyle at the moment. It's a 7-day lifestyle. Anyway, obviously Jessica and I enjoy a good cocktail. But Jessica, We also enjoy history. Mm-hmm. So talk to us about the beginning of Hank, because you're the one who came to me with, well, you didn't really come to me. Like, Jessica came to me like in a dream. But you actually were just like, you were just like, yo, Hannah, I have an idea.
Not only am I a historian, I am a prophet.
Just the power to reach across time and consciousness, really. So what brought Hayden to mind? What was the idea of the podcast that you first proposed to me?
I feel like over the last, I don't know, decade, mm-hmm. maybe, we have that age-old debate of like, why do we only talk about the Union? Why don't we ever talk about the Confederacy? Da-da-da-da-da. Mm. I feel like, as much as I love podcasts, there just aren't that many talking about the happenings and the happenings of the South.
Mm. Yes.
And, you know, famous mediocre white man William Faulkner once said, to understand the world, you have to understand the place like Mississippi.
Yes.
For better or worse. So, Haint Come comes along, because you know me and a ghost.
Mm-hmm. You love a spooky thing.
I do. But I think there's a lot of cultural relevancy just in that iconography. And I feel like between the two of us and our own backgrounds, we can bring together some pretty interesting debates or musings about our own experiences in the South.
Yes. I agree, which is why I was like, yes. But Jessica, tell us some about your background. Let their listener, whoever's plural or singular is listening to this episode right now.
I like to think that people listen to us in groups, like trivia night.
Oh, like the dream.
Or a drinking game.
We would be honored to be a drinking game. Percy, please have some whiskey in our name. We do love whiskey. But tell us a little about your background and what brought you.
Yeah, I am not from the South.
No, not from
the South. I am from a place, as one of our colleagues once said, one of those regions, which had absolutely no stake in the war. It wasn't even a state yet. I grew up in Wyoming, famously known for giving women the right to vote and a very high population of cattle.
Yes. Much grass.
And if you're not in the cattle industry, or you're not like a savant rodeo star or in oil, there's not... You're like trying to make a way out of no way, and that was fine. I love that for the people that do that, but I was like, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
So I went to North Carolina for 2 degrees. One at the illustrious Winston-Salem State, home of the Rams, which I will not shut up about. You cannot make me. And one at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro. So I have a background in African-American studies and public history. Academically, I've always focused in 20th century black women's civil rights movements in the public history sphere. I really like to make people angry because I don't want to talk about the colonists anymore.
No. They've had a lot of airtime.
Yeah.
So
I did that for a while in Mississippi, and I don't recommend that at all. It was the hardest almost 6 years of my life. I had a lot of growing up to do, forcibly or by choice. And then Alabama was like, well, you survived that, so come over here.
Yeah, cross the border, friend.
Yeah. Pack it up and go. And so now we're here, primarily working in 20th century civil rights movements.
That's what we do.
History around them. What are your roots here?
My roots here, where I am, if it could not be immediately guessed by my declaration to read the monogram. I am born and raised in Alabama, spent most of my life here. So I was raised in the middle of nowhere, Alabama. It was literally not a town, raised up in the middle of woods, and lived it pretty isolated. I was homeschooled. Listeners will get to know me better over the course of this, but I was raised in a hyper-fundamentalist religious cult and grew up pretty isolated, but always had a really strong sense of what was right and what was just. Managed to slip out of some of that grip by the time I was in college. Went to school in Marion, Alabama, which, if you know a lot about civil rights movement in the South, was really a place of a lot of significant history especially when Jimmie Lee Jackson was murdered, which sparked the Selma to Montgomery March, was originally, like, it was in talks to start in Marion. And so, yeah, I got her. I remember learning a lot about civil rights movement there. There's a lot of injustices, a lot of continued, like, social issues and a big racial divide in that town. So I started getting involved in a local nonprofit, a Black-led nonprofit. So I learned a lot about community building and social justice along the side of civil rights and how history sort of rooted itself in people's lives, and those sort of wounds are sort of passed down from generation to generation. And along this time, I was also doing work. I remember I went out to California and worked in migrant camps. I worked in government housing and was that town I was in? I was in Memphis for a while, working government housing, and another town in Tennessee, which is now escaping me. Knoxville. I knew it started with a K. I kept wanting to say Kentucky.
The most unknown town of Tennessee.
I mean, I never, so hard to remember. I was literally like, I was like the one closer to the Smoky Mountains. I remember going, y'all know, I love the Smokies. I was like, what's the largest city closest to the Smokies? That's what I was trying to do. Not the location of their famous football team. I also don't sport. So, and then I went to Divinity School. To be a pastor, actually, and preach. And I did that for, I worked in ministry about 10 years. I was a pastor for about 7 years. Left the church because things happened as they do in the church. I've moved away from the church, moved away from faith, but I still have a pretty strong root in church history and the ways that churches have both perpetuated injustice and tried to right the wrongs of the past. So all this, you're coming from an historian perspective, but I come from like a community-based, often social justice sort of perspective and experience. And so together, I hope we make something really lovely.
I think together we just make the Midwest.
The Midwest. But we have been friends for, I don't know, a year and a half now, maybe?
Yeah.
And I think what we found is, well, I mean, you, could you ever see that? I mean, Jessica, this, like, you're my best friend. And then they're like, well, I'm your best friend. Like, please don't say that. But but Jessica's one of my closest friends. But we discovered as we were, like, together, spending time together and stuff, that we would usually, like, one of us would be like, oh, I'm curious about this thing. And then we would both, like, do our little research and come back together and be like, I looked at that thing we did and started telling each other stories. And then I think eventually we were like, maybe we should speak into mics and record this.
What if we made other people listen to our jumbo?
maybe let's bring our chaos into the wild and just let it be free.
But the bulk of the way that I learned history is through storytelling.
Yes.
So I think if we are going to do something that's largely, but maybe not always, focused on the South or has Southern implications, mm-hmm. we need to be doing it through storytelling.
I agree. And that fits often the way that I approached some religious stuff, but also how we kind of engage people and build community is so often through shared story. Mm-hmm. And we think about Haint and the South comes from this idea of malevolent ghost sort of roaming. And it came from an enslaved people, the Gullah Geechee people, mm-hmm. on the East Coast. And it sort of took its life of its own and developed this Haint blue, because the idea was, I think, the malevolent spirits could not cross water. Mm-hmm. And so then the blue became representative of that water and was used to trap the ghosts. And, like, that's why bottle trees, and I think in the originally were sort of tied with strings with the opening of the bottle up.
Yeah.
So not like a lot of times you'll see modern interpretations of the bottles are like you have a metal tree with like little pieces of metal out and you stick the bottles in upside down. Yeah.
Neck down.
Neck
but
down.
They should be dangling.
Tied with a little string from a tree as the OGs do it. But this kind of came to represent, like, a malevolency to stories that are untold, or they're not told with truth, or they're not held with honor. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to sort of, you know, honor some of the Southern nature, whether, even if we're not, like Jessica said, speaking directly about the South, the spirit of storytelling, I think, is a very Southern way of relating, of being in community, and of, you know, passing down story. I mean, stories from one generation mm-hmm. to another and holding them well. So we wanted to have this idea that...
Bonus, I didn't clear this with my partner in crime before we recorded this. There is a tendency, and having lived outside of the Deep South in several different directions, to clock the South as stuck in their ways, mm-hmm. and everybody is the same, and no one wants to make change, and no one wants to do anything differently, and the South shall rise again. And there is a lot of that.
Yeah.
But I think we can also combat some of that, and that people are working really hard, that they don't have to keep this generational situation continuing the way that it has.
Mm-hmm. And the divide that has been doesn't always have to be.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in the South, I have a lot of love for the South. I mean, it's my home, but also a lot of respect for, you know, I can respect that a lot of conflict has happened here, mm-hmm. and that things have come out to the open and boiled over, and we're not usually, or even often, or even sometimes, done things well, or yeah. responded well. But speaking of the white Southerners specifically, but I think, you know, we're talking about things, and that's what the thing this podcast wants to do ultimately. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
So each week we'll be swapping back and forth. We'll be exploring a topic. I would not say to the degree of a dissertation by any means, but no. we'll take our spins on it. We'll offer some jokes, some laughs.
Might have a cocktail recipe or two.
Take it seriously when you have to. The stories and the cocktails.
We take seriously. But we have some fun on the way. Mm-hmm. We'll take turns delivering a story to you, to the other, to our co-host. And we're going to have some chitty chat episodes.
Yeah, we'll break it up.
And just...
As much as I want to turn everybody into a historian, people don't like that. Some people are good at math, so sometimes we'll just be...
just be vibing.
Bringing the funk, mm-hmm. as they say.
See what we come up with, surprise each other. But I hope you come on this journey. Just be ready for some stories, some fun, some seriousness, a few drinks.
Welcome to Hey Podcast.
We'll see you soon.
Bye.